And right now it is time for us to go and be joined by TheBerkshireEdge.com. Every week we get together with The Berkshire Edge on the radio. You can find them, of course, whenever you need them, TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web. And we welcome in Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And, and how are you folks doing up there in South County with the extended humid weather?
Well, I thought I was beginning to grow web feet, but it seems to the sun is out today, so I'm feeling a lot better.
All right. Well, let's talk about feeling a lot better. Let's start with the Boston Pops.
Oh yes. Well, the Boston Pops really filled in the breach because James Taylor was supposed to play on July 4th, and for some reason he canceled his concert. You know, he is always enormous.
And he's been the traditional July 4th highlight at the Boston Pops.
At the Tanglewood.
At Tanglewood, yeah.
So the Boston Pops played instead. Now, we didn't go, and you know, ordinarily we like to hear the fireworks. I mean, we go and we go to the Stockbridge Bowl because Tanglewood always has fireworks at the end of the 4th of July concert. But this year they did something strange. David, turn that on. Sorry, phone is ringing.
That's okay. That's okay.
I don't want to.
So, I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
There we go.
Sorry, okay. Anyway, they did something very odd, which I don't completely understand because I didn't see it, but the fireworks took place in Boston. The Boston Pops played, but the fireworks took place in Boston, and they were all televised. And I think not. And I think they were on big jumbotrons in at Tanglewood, but they were also on the air. So I mean, you could watch them on some television. Anyway, it wasn't the same.
No, it's not the same. But
obviously, we don't. We're not reporting on it very well either because we weren't there. And but anyway, the 4th of July came and went.
Well, at least at least 9,000 people got a chance once again to go on to the grounds to hear entertainment.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a good way to start Tanglewood.
All right.
It's a good way to open the season, you know, after this long winter of discontent, you might say.
Now, have you in Great Barrington noticed what we've noticed down here? The traffic is back. There is much more activity in our region. Have you noticed that in Great Barrington as well?
My God.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Oh, speak of traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, I went down to the farmer's market on Saturday morning, and it took me 15 minutes to get out of downtown Great Barrington. I mean, I kept, you know, every time I would take a turn, there was a line two blocks long at a stoplight, and so I would turn another corner and try to get out of it. I've never seen anything like this. Now, that was Saturday of July 4th, but still, I've never seen a Saturday of July 4th quite like this.
Well, I think people are finally, you know, getting out and saying, you know what, it's time. It's time for us to start re-engaging in society, and I think that's a good thing. I know that down here the increase in traffic was amazing. Your next story I want to go on to while we're talking about this though, and that is the founder and artistic director of the Berkshire Children's Chorus is stepping down.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Alice Maggio. Yeah.
But they found a new. Well, there's a new director.
Yeah.
It's not Alice Maggio. It's not that somebody's stepping down. It's that they have announced a new artistic director. The board member is, you know, the board is remaining in place. So,
yeah.
So they have a new art. I mean, this is a wonderful chorus. It's 30 years old, and it's the Berkshire Children's Chorus. And they are announcing that they've hired Ryan LaBoy, who is an experienced children's chorus conductor with degrees in choral conducting and music education. And so they are very excited. This is this chorus is for young singers in grades 4 through 9. And they perform regularly in the Berkshires, and they're a well-established institution, and they're wonderful. So we can look forward. I mean, they didn't perform all last year, of course.
Yeah, well, it's a beloved institution.
Yes.
There. And Alice Maggio has just been, a gem of guiding and leading
right.
this. Organization for so many years,
right.
so she's just moving
she's,
on.
Yeah, she's kept the chorus going.
Yeah,
right.
Well, speaking about gems, how about our man Yo-Yo Ma and
oh,
Emmanuel
yeah.
Ax?
He's performing tonight.
Yep.
He and Emmanuel Ax are performing tonight, and we are going.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. They are doing another wonderful organization is called Greenagers. It's an organization that teaches young people really about agriculture and the growing environment.
Yeah, and they have a. It's just kids, and they go around, and they're wonderful. They will, you can contact them, and they will come to your house and put up a garden bed, a vegetable
yes.
garden bed.
We
for
have
you.
Three.
Yeah, we have three of them. And they will. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could be in the center of Great Barrington or Lakeville, for that matter, and they will come and. Find a little spot in your yard and build a garden bed for you.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, and they did it for us. I mean, they want a contribution to the organization, which of course is definitely worth it. And then, if you want, they will also give you plants every year.
Yeah.
At any rate, Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, and pianist Emmanuel Ax, who are very good friends and perform together a lot, are performing a benefit concert for Greenagers tonight. Greenagers has a campus. I mean, it's a conservation center in South Egremont. They have a beautiful piece of land, and they are growing extraordinary gardens, and they're doing experiments like, they are experimenting with different kinds of trees that don't require much water and that could survive during climate change. So they really are an agricultural station where they grow plants. They teach young people how to garden and how to plant and how to take care of things And they also train them for jobs in this field. So it's really, an education and job program for teens and young adults in the Berkshires.
Well, let's get back to some reality here, and that is
infrastructure. Wait a minute, that's reality.
the reality of infrastructure in Great Barrington. Now, has the construction begun on that rotary at 7 and 23?
Barely.
Barely.
It's about to begin. I mean,
it's about to begin.
They've moved in some equipment, and it's beginning to. They're going to start. At the same time, we have a lot of other projects going on. We have some bridges that are out in Great Barrington that haven't been fixed. We have a big parking lot in the center of town that needs to be the one near the Triplex Cinema needs to be ripped out and replaced. And also, the state, in its infinite wisdom, has decided to put in a roundabout where none of us actually feel that it's necessary. But it is an intersection of...
You mean on Route 23 right in front of the police station?
Right, where you drive into town.
Right.
And it's where 23 comes into 7 and 41.
Right.
Do they have any idea how long they'll be? The construction will go on?
Oh.
They're afraid to say.
Right.
You really couldn't have picked a worse time to begin construction. That's
too,
the whole thing. You're coming out of a pandemic. Shops are finally opening up. Great Barrington is finally opening up. And you're going to have a major traffic disruption on one side of the city. And as you said, you've got the bridges and everything else on the other side. So this doesn't give the merchants much of a break.
No, it doesn't.
Except that the way these projects work with the state highway department is that they're in a queue, you know, and there are many of them, and if you lose your place, you know, it could be many years before you go to the bottom of the line and work your way back up. So I think everyone was sort of surprised that when this project came up, because I don't think anybody knew that it was there. you know, the intersection seems to have worked well, but but in any case.
Yeah, I mean, there was a stoplight there. It was fine. There was a stoplight there. There was no problem. And suddenly the state has, you know, as if there isn't anything else to do with their money, they have decided that they're going to build a roundabout there instead. Nobody knows why.
Well, I like roundabouts. They look interesting, but you're right. That did not seem to be an intersection that had an abundance of accidents. Abundance of accidents or anything like that.
But we do have, you know, we have this other bridge right downtown, this Cottage Street Bridge that's been closed since, I don't know, about 3 years now. The town got a grant in 2018 from the State Transportation Improvement Program to replace the bridge, but that money is not going to be released until 2023. But that bridge has been closed. I mean, and that's a bridge right downtown over the Housatonic. And we have another bridge out, Well, we have the Brown Bridge right downtown, which is still not completed.
That's a major road. Because that's Route 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not finished. And then we have a bridge out on Division Street that's been out for, and that's been out for 2 or 3 years. And
meanwhile, a roundabout comes up.
Yeah, the roundabout gets built, which is completely unnecessary. So, you know, it's hard to figure out these things.
The state works in wondrous ways, is all you can say.
In mysterious ways.
Yeah. Well, but it is an example, unfortunately, the infrastructure crumbling, not only in Great Barrington, but it's happening all around the country.
Yeah, and
so we are an example of really what's happening nationwide, that this infrastructure that was built 50 to 75 years ago is all crumbling and there isn't money to fix it.
You know, here in Connecticut, we had a couple of bridges about 20 years ago fail, and Connecticut undertook a job in those 20 years replacing every bridge. Basically in the state of Connecticut. And it didn't matter if it was over the Housatonic River or over the Connecticut River, or they just made sure that all those 50- and 70-year-old bridges were replaced. It was a long, and they're still working on a few of them. Getting away from that, though, let's go back to that little part of Great Barrington that feels neglected, Housatonic.
Housatonic, right.
Poor Housatonic.
Well, their problem is that they don't have good broadband. None of us has good broadband. I mean, the rest of Great, I mean, you know, we have spectrum, which leads something to be desired. But the town of Housatonic has even worse. And so they are trying to bring fiber optic broadband service to Housatonic. We have spectrum in Great Barrington, but the Housatonic is served by Charter. It is Spectrum also.
It's Spectrum.
Charter renamed it. Charter bought Time Warner and then became Spectrum. But, the residents and business owners, the same broadband service is inconsistent and often too slow for commercial use. That they're still using DSL lines in some places. So there is an effort to try to figure out how to bring fiber to
Housatonic,
at least to downtown Housatonic. Now, we have fiber in downtown Great Barrington, only along the downtown, the main street. Us residential customers don't have fiber. We have cable. But it's going to be very expensive. I mean, Fiber Connect is a local company that has wired downtown Great Barrington. And now it's talking about running lines into the town of Housatonic.
Well, it's the village of Housatonic, which is the village.
Right.
And, the Housatonic has always felt kind of like a neglected district. And so
it's a village inside the town of Great Barrington.
Yes.
Well, we'll go from the fiber and the internet to the dancing farmer. Let's talk a little bit about the dancing farmer.
Go ahead.
Do you want to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, there's a dancer at Great Barrington a dancer at Jacob's Pillow who has created a garden there. And it's being inaugurated this Saturday, July 10th, with live dance and music.
Well, it also revives an old tradition at Jacob's Pillow, where dancers actually started with Ted Shawn many years ago, who actually created a garden at Jacob's Pillow.
Right. Shawn and his dancers.
So they're reviving and replanting that tradition,
And actually, Shawn did it. The Pillow was established. It was going through the Great Depression, and the dancers needed food. So it wasn't. Shawn saw this garden as an important part of physical training and creative practice. But actually, they also, they were growing food. So
it linked dance to the physical world.
Yes,
and that's
right.
That's what the idea was.
Right, and and to the land. So it's a 1.5-acre plot. It was once designed to be a working farm, so now they are starting it up again. He's trying to replicate. Sean's farm. Of course, he can't do that by himself.
Well,
but he's
the dancers. Adam Weiner.
Yeah.
We have a picture. We have a picture of him planting garlic.
And he's so gorgeous because
he's dressed in a costume.
And his back is beautifully straight. He looks like a dancer. Even though he's down on the ground, you should take a look at the picture because it's really wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. I want to go on to your Business Monday column. Jonathan Butler, collaboration has been the heart of a successful entrepreneurial spirit in Great Barrington.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan Butler is the director of an organization called One Berkshire, which was brought together several years ago. It brought together kind of the Economic Development Organization and the Chamber of Commerce and the Berkshire Tourist Organization into one organization that focuses on economic development of the Berkshires. And they write us a column once a month about sort of, you know, a kind of business perspective on what's happening in the Berkshires. And this week, he wrote a very interesting article about the number of organizations, you know, businesses and nonprofits that are collaborating in the Berkshires in order to amplify their impact. So he's talking, for example, about, let me just find an example. You know, Berkshire Bounty. Now, this is the Berkshire Bounty is a nonprofit that collects food. It was really ramped up this year during the pandemic when schools were shut down and a lot of families no longer had access to free lunches. A bunch of nonprofits banded together to try to collect food from grocery stores and local grocers. So Berkshire Bounty partnered with the farmers market, Guido's, Woolies, which is another market, High Lawn Farm, Big Y, and Price Chopper, and others. And they were funded by the Berkshire United Way, and they were also had a connection with Berkshire Grown. But this was one example of organizations all joining together to fight food insecurity. Then he talks about another on the Massmoka campus, Bright Ideas Brewing. I mean, this is a combination of the food and beverage sectors. So Bright Ideas Brewing and AOK Barbecues, created an outdoor space on the Massmoka campus where people could dine outside and on outdoor picnic tables and also under a tent. They talked about Berkshire Mountain Distilleries joining with Big Elm Brewery and other beer makers so that they promoted each other's beers and distilled beverages. So there are a number of them. A number of interesting pairings and combinations. And we talked about Greenagers. So there was another community, another pairing, the Berkshire Natural Resources Council, Berkshire Camino, Greenagers in Hancock Shaker Village all got together to create new hiking trails for Berkshire Natural Resources Council. So there are, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I mean, that there have been all these collaborations between organizations and businesses.
All right. Well, we are flat out of time.
We are.
Oh, my gosh.
We're out
already?
Of time.
Okay.
Well, we just touched upon a few of the stories that you'll find on a daily basis. But BerkshireEdge.com, 24 hours a day, loaded with news and information and events in our area. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. And, of course, you can find them, TheBerkshireEdge.com, on the web.